Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm Scott Amenta, founder of the Chief of Staff Network. So today I'm sitting down with someone whose path to Chief of Staff is genuinely unlike anyone I've spoken with before. Stefania Greco is Chief of Staff at Bicycle Capital, which is a growth stage venture fund investing in Latin America. And what makes this conversation so interesting to me is that we don't talk to many chiefs of staff operating inside VC firms. It's a rare version of the role, and it's still being defined in real time. On top of that, Stefania's story starts in Venezuela, winds through journalism, modeling, retail, fitness instruction, and eventually landing her as an EA at SoftBank, before she goes on to help build Bicycle Capital from the ground up. Today, we get into what it actually means to be a chief of staff at a fund versus a startup, and how she thinks about ambiguity, delegation, and scaling herself, and some genuinely memorable frameworks for anyone in the role. All right, let's get into it. All right, Stefania, welcome to the podcast. Nice to have you here.
Thank you for inviting me. This is a great opportunity.
I'm excited for this conversation because we don't talk to very many chiefs of staff working for venture capital firms. And it's obviously a growing position, but I'm excited to kind of dive into this with you today and learn a little bit more about your path to venture capital and what it means to be a chief of staff inside for your, in your case, Bicycle Capital. I'm sure we'll cover lots of territory along the way.
It's a new role, you can say, for the venture capital industry, and it's still being defined. So it's very exciting to talk about it because it helps me realize how much time has passed, how much the role in the company has grown. Hopefully, you know, it helps other people that are in my industry as well.
I'm sure you've learned a lot along the way. If I've learned anything, having chatted with hundreds of chiefs of staff at this point, the role is always being defined and redefined, and that's a part of the beauty of this position. So maybe together we'll come up with a bit of a definition for what does chief of staff mean in VC world today?
Absolutely.
Before we get into all that, I guess maybe just walk us through the path to Bicycle Capital. What were you doing before? What drew you to a chief of staff role at a growth VC fund?
That's a real interesting question when I think about what brought me here, because it did started a long time ago in my country, how my personality in order to be a chief of staff started to develop.
Remind us where you're from.
I'm from Venezuela. So I was born and raised in Venezuela. I have European parents. And, you know, my path to a chief of staff started that early in my life, you know, with my childhood, the experiences I went through, the way I was raised. It helped me develop a lot of resilient personality, a problem-solving mindset, and like a more strategic way of thinking and looking for the gaps. How can I make this better? I mean, understand that I grew up in a country that the political and social crisis got really intensified. And I chose a career based off that. Maybe it wasn't the right decision, but I decided to study journalism. And I wanted to speak on behalf of my country. I wanted to defend it. I wanted to really be involved with the opposition media. And as you know, the media got shut down. So I'm like, I don't have a career now. So what am I going to do? So I did like some public relations internships and jobs and event production, entertainment related, but never what I really wanted to do. Then my family's business, who I helped them build that business since I was like 14, which is crazy, got expropriated by the government because it was oil in the oil industry. And there's a huge industry in Venezuela, as you know. And then the situation became increasingly dangerous also because of delinquency. So I was forced to make a decision to either stay in Venezuela and keep fighting, you know, with the risk of something happening, or moving somewhere else. So I moved in 2009, I moved to Miami and I started something from scratch. I had to, you know, juggle between a lot of paths and responsibilities. You know, I needed a job to pay my bills. I came here alone at first. And this is crazy, but I was at the same time a waitress, a fitness instructor. I did some modeling when I was younger here. And also I worked in retail. I was working as sales representative at a polo store for men. So I just had to like develop that, like I said, resilient personality, solve problems, how to be strategic, like as an immigrant and making a new life and speaking a new language, like working, for example, in BC, when English is not my first language, obviously, was a big challenge. There were terms that I didn't know how to do, like how to start like talking in professional English and not casual. So I had to sit down, you know, figure out what my status was going to be in the country. I went back to school. I got my second degree in public relations, and somehow I landed at SoftBank as executive assistant for the Latin American fund when it just started. So it was a startup inside a huge organization, and I helped the managing partners build a team of 70 people in Miami. That was a huge achievement. I was helping two managing partners, each one handling $1 billion to invest in Latin America. And I loved that I was having that impact to help that side of the continent and my country from a big company like that. So it wasn't only a job. It was actually a good social and economic impact that I was creating one way or another.
What a story arc. You started trying to give back and fight for your country in a way that kind of befit your skill set in media. And obviously, unfortunately, didn't work out. As you said, a path of real resilience, having to move to a new country, learn a new language, adapt to a new business, social profile, an ecosystem, Swiss Army knife of tools. I mean, retail, modeling, et cetera. Probably things that even if you're not relying on them directly, indirectly have impacted the way that you operate and communicate today. When you worked with SoftBank, you helped launch, I think, a $500 million plus fund. So what did those early days look like?
SoftBank was a big challenge, and not because it was a startup, because when you have a startup inside an organization that is a startup fund, you already have like all the departments filled. Like you have HR, you have office managers, like they help you, they train you, they tell you what to do. So you're just building a team, but you have all the support from all those departments and compliance and this. So you don't have to think about onboarding, HR and payroll and what we do from scratch. But you do have to think strategically on who you're hiring, responsibilities, what events are you attending, what founders you're meeting, what countries are profitable in Latin America. In Latin America, every country has a different political upside and downside. And you have to analyze that into like a governance structure in order to know where to invest and where not to invest. But the fund was $5 billion. And we had five managing partners, each one handling $1 billion. So I started helping one, then two. And then during COVID, there was a huge layoff and I helped five managing partners. So that was a huge challenge.
And this was in the executive assistant role, right?
Yes.
So much of the work that you're describing sounds pretty strategic. I'm curious, when was that shift of mindset for you of, you know, if I take kind of maybe the traditional EA mindset, it's very much like, what does my principal need today? What are the backup plans to make sure that their capacity is filled up to 100%, right? And they're kind of maximizing the available time that they have, to how do I double or triple that capacity as an amplifier to their work, which is more chief of staff, a little bit more strategic. When did that shift happen for you, either at SoftBank or afterwards?
It happened at SoftBank. I felt like I had a lot of chief of staff responsibilities. We did hire a chief of staff at SoftBank where I was very confused about what they were doing. To be honest with you, I never understood and never worked directly with them. But I knew that I could carry on that role and make it grow and define it, you know, depending on my personality and the industry and who I work with. So after 4 years at SoftBank, I actually was going to leave the company and go somewhere else that, you know, they offered me a chief of staff role. And I decided not to do it because there was a huge initiative from another team. They wanted to create a new fund. So I left SoftBank, which was a huge risk, to create something from scratch. I mean, think about, you have a secure role where you get paid well and you quit that role to go somewhere else where you don't know when you're going to get paid because there's not even a payroll platform. There's no entity. There's nothing. But because I believed in the people that were carrying this along, I made a decision, left SoftBank, and it took us a year to build an entire company.
And when you stepped into that new role, was your definition of your job description and the things that you were going to be working on, was it fundamentally different than what you were doing at SoftBank?
We were all defining our roles. We were six people. You know, it wasn't a big team.
Yeah.
What do you want this role to be? You were an associate. You want to be a partner. Yeah, I'm going to be a partner. I am going to be a principal. And I said, I'm going to be a chief of staff. I said that without knowing what it meant. But that's what I wanted to do. I'm like, I want to be a chief of staff. I want to do more. I don't want to be only on operations and only thinking about day-to-day basis. I actually want to like impact the system and improve it. And I think I can do that, you know, based on my experience and my skills and how I know my personality revolves, you know? So I left SoftBank, created Bicycle Capital with the team. I said chief of staff. At the time, I was very confused. I thought, you know, the chief of staff will look different depending on industry, and defining this role depended on me more than anyone else. I didn't have, you know, a job description, obviously, so I created it myself. And all I did was to take a step back and just, you know, what do we need? Formation documents. Now we need to build a backup office. Do we want to hire departments, or do we want to create a system of platforms and partners, consultants, to work, save that money and salary until we grow more? I created this system that operationally it works seamlessly. All the systems are integrated together. You know, with time, I figure out how to make that happen. Of course, also with the help of AI. And I ended up in this operational role that at first it was confusing, but I feel like it's an important part of the process, because how are you going to improve a system if you don't know the company from the inside? So I accepted the operational part, and that was like a year and a half of only operations and perfecting it. And then it grew more strategically, you know, now into investor relations, fundraising, creating events. We are now creating, for example, organizing our first annual general meeting for all our LPs. And, you know, I'm trying to do a wow factor there.
So now you've got your hands in lots of other parts of the organization. I'm curious, like, from your perspective, how do you feel being a chief of staff at a VC fund is different from working as a chief of staff, say, at one of the startups in your portfolio? What do most people picture that you think they have wrong?
I don't think it's too different in this sense, because this company was created from scratch. I'm guessing portfolio companies are also created from scratch. But in this role, you don't only support the leaders to make a deck and pitch this company and pitch to the other one, like depending on what industry they are, right? If they're in tech. But in fundraising, you do have to think about the thesis of why you're fundraising. You have to give it meaning. You have to sell the location you're selling into. Like if we're investing in Brazil, we have to sell Brazil and Latin America. We have to convince these LPs, you know, that if they invest in our fund, it's because we're investing in a country that has a lot of potential that doesn't have enough growth capital. So it's other terms, a different strategy. And when it comes to like responsibilities, you have to think, how can you better support your executive? But it's all related to fundraising and investing.
Yeah. So the goals might be a little bit different than a typical startup, but you know, some of the fundamentals that make up the position are pretty similar. Most venture capital firms are not growing at the speed of light in terms of headcount and maybe even revenue, if that's even their goal. Obviously, returns is a little bit different. The chief of staff is very much a dot connector between different parts of the organization, between different teams. And for a company, a venture capital firm, whose, you know, main goal is not necessarily growth by all means, and growth usually comes with headcount, the nature of the role doesn't evolve in the same way. So I think there is like one difference there just in terms of how you work with not just your principal, but the rest of the company, which is worth exploring.
Yes, no, definitely. That's actually a good point, because on a small investment firm, first of all, a huge difference is not only on the industry, but it's the headcount. And I feel like that changes the role of a chief of staff, depending on, you know, the headcount. If you have 5 to 10 people, if you have 50, if you have 70, or if you have 100 plus. But usually VCs, like you said, we don't need that many departments. It's smaller. People have a lot of agency, you know, partners and associates that are only focused on investments. You have a team that is only focused on investments and another team that is only focused on fundraising, which is the leadership team. So you have to support them. That's why it becomes operational, because the little motor, it's a car. The entire machine, the motor, you have to set it up as a chief of staff so that it can run smoothly, so it can run better. And you're at the same time the gas that keeps it going. The leaders are not going to think about operations strategically and the system, and the partners are just going to be focused on meeting founders. So the responsibilities change because of that. But I think they also change because you need more agency when you're supporting a venture capital firm, meaning a lot of the strategic initiatives are not born in either side of the fundraising or investing, are born in the chief of staff role. And you're located in like a tower. where you can oversee the little organization and you know what's missing and you know what's coming, and you're the one proposing initiatives to change the system, to make up the fundraising strategy and process better, to make sure the team goes to this conference because it's worth meeting these people. So you start thinking about ecosystem building and strategic initiatives.
There's an interesting like dynamic at play there that I'm hearing, which is the chief of staff, in your case at a growth fund, is almost operating like a mini CEO, right? Helping to set the kind of strategic direction and making sure that all of the players within the fund are focused on the right things, right? So the investors only want to be focused on new deal flow and getting their fund into the best businesses possible. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they want to spend their time on the operations, on the people ops, on the other strategic priorities that might be beneficial to the fund if given more time and capacity. And so for you as the chief of staff, that's where you kind of have this bird's eye view to say, all right, directionally, this is where we all need to be headed. How do we make sure that happens? In addition to like, how do the day-to-day things just work on a regular basis?
Absolutely. Another thing that you said, you know, the role, the responsibilities grow with the team growing too. In my case, for example, responsibilities and the growth of the organization has been insane. More things are falling on my plate by default, and it's because I know how the company is working, right? So one example is we are creating an ESG department. We didn't have it before, but now that we've been running for 3 years, some of the LPs do require for us to have ESG officers and people prepare. So responsibilities do grow, but it's based on the growth of the fund, not on people.
Which I think probably leads to a lot of ambiguity, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about our favorite word, ambiguity. Most people probably treat ambiguity in any role, but the chief of staff role especially, as a problem that they need to solve. We've talked previously. I know you see it differently. Tell me a little bit about how you approach ambiguity and why you think it actually leads to a lot of power in the position versus a challenge that needs to be fixed.
So get ready, because this is my favorite topic and I might get excited. So a lot of people see ambiguity as a problem, you know, because things are not clear, they're uncertain, you know, there's multiple possible interpretations, there's so many paths, so many solutions. And a lot of people work with a job description, you know, with metrics, and they need to like not be in a box, but they need instructions to know what they're doing. I understand, completely get it. But a chief of staff will see the ambiguity as a chance to evolve and an opportunity to create value. So I feel like ambiguity is a space where value is definitely created. You have to understand that it is not a problem. Problems don't belong to a single department, and you have to actually put a wide lens, see the entire company, see the different paths, and come up with solutions. And part of coming up with the solutions is embracing ambiguity, questioning the status quo, and saying, how can I make this better? So with no ambiguity, I feel like the role wouldn't be what it is, because a lot of companies, they're looking for a chief of staff because things are not working 100% well. A leader or an executive won't tell you, this is everything that's not working. I need you to help me with things. You have to have the initiative and you have to have agency. You have to embrace the ambiguity. You have to question the status quo and you have to analyze what the blind spots are. The uncertain things, you know, give you an opportunity to create solutions and to actually give it meaning. Like I said, to add value and to engrave your DNA of problem solving and strategic thinking into the company. And that's how your role evolves. For ambiguity, it doesn't matter if you solve one problem or if you figure out one path, it keeps popping up. And it's good to recognize it and actually use it in your favor and in the favor of the company, of course.
There's one thing to be said about kind of rigid role definitions that like create a limit to the impact that you can have because maybe the job description was framed a certain way and, you know, you're now in a position that feels less like a chief of staff role and more like a functional leader role, like looking over a particular part of the business. And that might be fine for a limited time. It's another thing to be said, because like there's various ways out of that, right? In terms of redefining your role and having conversations with your principal.
Yeah.
It's another thing to be said about the self-imposed boxes that we create for ourselves of like, well, I'm good at this, or I've been doing this for so long, and therefore that is my responsibility. How do you practice the discipline of just constantly breaking out of those self-imposed boxes?
There's two things that I like to think about ambiguity and what you're saying. If the chief of staff role were fully defined, it wouldn't be as powerful nor impactful. Ambiguity is not a problem to solve, but it's a space for the chief of staff to come in and make it better. And for me, every quarter, I have a meeting with two EAs that I recently hired, and I start outlining the entire system, what's working, what's not working. For fundraising, I talk with my boss. For like anything operational, I talk with them. And even if things are running smooth, I always ask, like, how can I make this better? And I train them to have the same mindset, regardless of them being EAs, because when you're in a startup, you're basically your own agent. And I try for my entire team to have that personality that they come up with solutions. So I'm training these EAs to actually question, how can they make anything better for the EA that is working with one of our executives? It's like, how can you make his life better? He's relocating. How can you make that relocation better and smoother and like less stressful for the executive? So it's sitting down and analyzing what's working, what's not, and seeing the opportunities of improvement. And there always are opportunities. Like something might be working, and this has happened to me a lot throughout like these 3 years in this company, but it could always be reshaped to be better. And with better, I mean efficient, cost-effective, better for the team performance, and also simpler. I have a good story for you. This is related to this, because when you create value and you want to change things, people think, I'm just adding more things to my plate, but you're not. Your responsibility is to make things better, and you have to be basically available for all the things that come in, and you have to be strategic to reshape them in favor of the company. When I was at SoftBank, I had an executive, my firm, the one that hired me, Brazilian, Paulo Passoni, and I loved him. He was great. He taught me so much, and I would say that he prepared me for this role of chief of staff. He thought like a chief of staff, even though he wasn't, and he was my mentor. He did two things. One, I would text him a lot. I remember I would text him on WhatsApp. We communicated through WhatsApp to plan everything. And I think he didn't like that I wrote so much. So one time he gave me a book that's called How to Write Without Bullshit. And I'm like, I don't know if that's an insult or he just wants me to like make it better. And I read it and I liked it a lot because he helped me simplify systems, communications, emails, make it straightforward. After I read that book, he gave me a task to print little stickers that say the word simplify. And he made me paste it on every team member, meaning 70 people, of the Latin American fund for SoftBank. And then he gave us a chat about simplifying, right? So when I sit down with my EAs and I see the system, what we're doing, it's a lot of tasks all at the same time. It could be overwhelming for everyone. So it's like, how can you make this better? Like this, you know, we come up with a solution. And then I think about simplifying the process to actually make it effective, less time consuming, and gives you time to actually prioritize your tasks. So that's the route I take to be strategic and not only like think on the box. You don't have the wide lens that the chief of staff role requires to see the gaps, to see the blind spots, to identify, you know, a team member there is not doing well. What's not working for him? So you get on a call with them. Hey, you know, you're not the manager, but you're the chief of staff. What's going on? How can I make it better for you? What's working? What's not working? And then you analyze from that. But a chief of staff role is not only, like I said, operational, not only towards the leader. You have to think about the system and you also have to think about your team. It's a thing about the entire company.
Yeah. The phrase that came to mind while you were speaking is founder's mindset, which doesn't mean that you need to be a founder on paper. You know, my definition of that is really like every problem is your problem. That doesn't also mean that every problem is your problem to solve, but it is within kind of your remit to make sure that those things are solved, meaning you're helping to direct and orchestrate, ensuring that the highest priority items are being paid attention to. And you need the widest lens to understand all of the problems, to know what the prioritization should be. A founder's mindset is, yeah, like you need to be in the weeds as much as you need to be in like the high level strategy. But for me, it's all about solving problems. And you need to understand the breadth of the issues to really make sure that you're spending the time appropriately.
And I like that you said that it's also about orchestrating, right? Like I think about in my role, it's funny, I always compare it to the drummer. So it's like I'm dictating the rhythm and everybody's going at that pace. So a chief of staff, I would say, like, it's also the drummer. You're dictating the rhythm, you're dictating the pace, and people actually go at that pace without you imposing. And you're doing it in a subtle way without being, you know, too authoritarian or direct. You do it by having one-on-ones with people, checking on how they're doing, seeing little gaps, seeing weaknesses, trying to strengthen them. One of the things that I did that I can compare it to this was we had three partners. We have one managing partner. Our managing partner travels a lot to conferences. It's exhausting to travel so much, especially when you have to fundraise and you have to work. And I'm like, how can I make it better for this? So I spoke with my team and I asked them, how would you feel speaking in a panel at a conference on behalf of Bicycle? And they were a little shy. They didn't know what to do. So I placed them in different panels. I went, I observed, I thought they were good. One had to project the voice a little bit more. So I just flew them to Miami for an offsite and I hired a public speaking coach that is also a stand-up comedian. And he gave them a week of intense public speaking lessons. And he made them feel uncomfortable and he recorded them. He made them see them on the screen. And now, you know, they might not be at 100% because it was just 1 week, but they're more prepared and more confident when they step into a stage. And now the managing partner, who's my executive, doesn't have to travel to all these conferences. So it's like little things like that. If I'm just an EA, I wouldn't think so strategically about it. My boss is going, he's fine. You know, I wouldn't think this is a lot of weight on his shoulders. I ask him, how are you doing? I want to spend more time with the kids. Okay, let's make it happen. Let's send the partner who can go. Who should be better to go? So it's definitely a lot of orchestrating besides, you know, the operational or strategic part of the role.
Yeah. It's also a great example of scaling, in this case, the capacity of the team, right? So that there's not only one stopgap to fill in that specific part of the operation. You now have multiple people that you can tap on. Talk to me a little bit about building capacity generally as a chief of staff. There are a few options kind of available. One of them is obviously hiring more team members. And, you know, typically with under a chief of staff remit, sometimes you see executive assistants. I think in some cases that does make sense. In other cases, I've seen biz ops teams potentially report into a chief of staff if it's very like strategy and ops heavy work, and that becomes more part of the office of the CEO. In a lot of cases, chiefs of staff are not managing anyone directly. Talk to me a little bit about how you've scaled yourself as a chief of staff. If it's not human headcount, it could also be agentic headcount, which is another option.
No, yes, of course. Starting with the word simplify, when I created this back office, which is HR, which includes benefits and payroll and taxes and other things that I didn't know, you know, require until I started doing it. IT, accounting, and then financials. They're different, financials and accounting. I didn't know that. We had legal, compliance, now ESG, IR, like all this, I created a system of platforms and AI and also consultants that I hire per hour when I need it. For example, the financials, I hire a consultant, CFO that doesn't work inside of the organization. And I said, this takes most of my day. Like it takes 4 days of my week to be fully doing this. I have to have weekly calls with each consultant or spend time in these platforms and, you know, all these things. And I'm like, how can I get rid of all this HR stuff and responsibilities that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing every day without hiring an agent? So I looked into it. When I opened this HR platform, I opened our own entity, created our own account, and I had to start running payroll. But we have people in Miami, in California, and New York. And then I didn't know that I had to open a workers' compensation insurance for each state. And now I run everything in this platform without having to worry about insurances, without having to worry about producing W-2s, or, you know, how the benefits are handled. They handle everything for us. And this is something that I didn't know existed. And with this process, just changing into this, we're saving like $600 a month on just consultant fees. I already had more time to spend time in other things.
How do you figure out kind of what stays on your plate versus what gets delegated? Like, at what point do you say, okay, it's enough of me doing this. I either need to rework the operational process so that it requires less of my time, or I need additional human to come in and take this work over. Where is that breaking point?
I am actually in that process, and this is what happened. I hired this EA, and I said, you know, you do anything related to the executive. Because I was helping him with like scheduling some calls, some minutes for meetings and these things that also took my time. But I never needed the extra help. But I delegated anything administrative or, you know, that could be confused with an EA role, let's say, to her. Plus, you know, helping me with other operational things. And I felt like I was overwhelming her because it was a lot. It was a lot on my plate and falling on her plate too, because the ESG department then fell on mine too. And I made her ESG officer as well. So it was a lot. So I flew one of our EAs from Brazil to Miami and I sat with them and a board. This is like the messiest way you can do this, but this is how I did it. And it worked. And I said, listen, guys, I need you to help me to let go of something. So I'm going to write everything I'm doing. So I wrote like department by department. I started like going crazy, Einstein mode on the board, and like every responsibility that I was doing, all the events that I was creating, all the partnerships I was working with, all the conferences that I was working with my boss and the content for his presentations. Inside every department, there's so many steps. And what I do with IT, the onboarding, the offboarding, the workstation setups, the office management, because I manage the office too. So I said, everything I circle on red, I can delegate because it's strategic, confidential, like HR and payroll. But everything else is up for grabs. Who wants to help me? So we had a discussion and they started saying, I can help you with this. I can help you with that. We put like an AI companion meeting notes, even though we were in person, so that it could help us get organized with next steps. And now I meet with them twice a week with a project list where I put like who is in charge of what with the deadlines. And I am learning myself how to delegate. It's really hard to delegate when you build something from scratch and you're so like overprotective of what you've done. And there's always like, I think I can do it better and you do it yourself. But like stepping back and saying, I am delegating. I'm not going to monitor. I already trained you for 2 months. This is your project. Take over. Now, if there's an issue with that, then I have to have a conversation with them. But the question you just asked, this is something I'm going through and I'm learning how to delegate. It's not easy.
I understand.
But it's important. It's important for the growth of the company and for you as a professional.
Given what you've learned in your chief of staff role thus far at Bicycle Capital, what is one thing that you tell someone new stepping into a chief of staff role at another VC?
I will say the goal of a chief of staff is not like to do everything, but it's to design an organization where the right things happen without constant intervention, first of all. That would be like one of the most important things I will say. Definitely like learning how to delegate as the company grows. And when you see systems in a company and you feel like, you know, they're working correctly, you have to sit down and analyze it and think that every system should remove friction, not create it. And sometimes friction can be overlooked because you're just used to doing it. So never be like comfortable with how it's running. Always have that mentality of like questioning the status quo as well. And what we spoke about, you know, embracing ambiguity.
Is there a question that you wish more chiefs of staff would ask themselves?
Yeah, definitely. I would say that they should think if they are thinking inside that box or thinking outside it, if they really have a good feel and understanding of how the company runs. It also, like I said, depends on the size of the company. And then start looking for the company's running perfectly. You know, my boss is perfect, this and that. Start having more initiative and agency when it comes to communicating with your executive. Don't wait to receive instructions, but actually ask him. Yeah, look for one-on-ones, sit down with them, have a feel about what they're doing or what they're uncomfortable with, if they're trained and where, you know, like, what are you working on right now? I feel like a lot of chief of staff don't ask their executives, what are you working on right now? And then, you know, they tell you, no, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I'm building the thesis for the second fund. I have to, you know, figure out how fundraising works. I don't know how to track all the LPs that I'm meeting. Then just like, let me help you with that. And then you become proactive. It's not a production of a day-to-day. It's a production of the entire organization and the system. So you have to always ask questions. You cannot just sit there and wait for things to happen. You have to be involved. And part of that is having agency and initiative and speaking up. And with speaking up, I mean ask questions.
The question that you just proposed, what are you working on today, is a really simple one, but a really effective one. Probably something that is easily taken for granted of just assuming rather than really acknowledging where that time is going.
Yeah, it's a simple question. And again, the concept of simplicity doesn't revolve just around how the system works. It revolves how you think, because there are a lot of simple questions you can ask that will give you a hint of what could be better. And I'm using the example of that question because he's really stressed with the fundraising process. And I want to sit with him and I want to help him propose, you know, a platform where we can track LPs. How can we integrate it with our Outlook so that it can be updated? Dividing our LPs by location, maybe going to a conference to a location and having an entire day of meetings with those LPs that are in that location. So helping him be more efficient will help the entire organization.
Stephanie, this was a great conversation. I really appreciate the time today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. You're the best.
All right, that's a wrap on my conversation with Stephanie. A few things I'm still thinking about. The drumming metaphor really stuck out to me. The idea that the goal of a chief of staff isn't to do everything, but to design an organization where the right things happen without constant intervention. And honestly, just the reminder that asking your principal, what are you working on right now? Or what is your highest priority? Is somehow both the simplest and most underrated question in the role. If you enjoyed this one, please subscribe, leave a review, share it with someone in the chief of staff world. It genuinely helps us. We'll see you next time.